Aleluia, aleluia.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a child in her own age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
December 20th each year, also at the Christmas Vigil Mass, there is this point, counterpoint, between the prophet Isaiah and the proclamation of the incarnation of the Lord. What is this connection? At first, we would think it's the prophecy about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son and naming him God with us, and that's always true. But there's another point, counterpoint, and anti-parallelism that the church wants us to grasp. When the prophet Isaiah went to Ahaz, who was the eighth generation grandson of King David, the seventh generation grandson of King Solomon, Ahaz was simply 18. He was a young man. He was being besieged by the kingdom of Syria and the kingdom of Israel, as he was the king of Judah, in order to form an alliance with them against the Assyrian king Pilesar, Tiglath-Pileser III. And he wanted to take the advice of his political gurus. But God sent Isaiah to him saying, "Don't do it. Don't form an alliance with either. Don't form it with Tiglath. Don't form it with the two kingdoms of the north. God will protect you. And in order to do this, I want you to ask for a sign. Ask as deep as the netherworld, as high as the sky." Now we remember what happened seven generations before when another 18-year-old asked for a heart as understanding as God's so that he could rule the people, so that he could align every choice that he was making with what the Lord himself wanted. And God gave him that heart. Ahaz didn't want a heart like God. When Ahaz was given the ability to ask for anything whatsoever as a sign, he faked piety by saying, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." He didn't want a sign. Because if the sign came, he would be, in a sense, bound by it. God would have manifested that this is his will. But he didn't want to do God's will. He wanted to do his own. He didn't want to obey the King of Kings. He wanted to form earthly alliances with other kings to defeat still kings beyond. So there's an anti-parallelism between this son of David, son of Solomon, and a daughter of the Davidic line in today's gospel, when that prophecy is doubly fulfilled. When the angel Gabriel from God went, not just to find any old girl, but to a specific place, to a specific home, to a woman betrothed to a specific man of the house of David with a specific name. She didn't ask for a sign, but nevertheless, God fulfilled that long-awaited one in her. And her response to this was not, I will not ask, I will not tempt. It wasn't doubt, it wasn't let me do my own will, but rather, behold, I am the Lord's handmaid, and let my whole life develop according to your word. Today's Oantiphon highlights this contrast as we approach the mystery of Christmas, as we approach the extraordinary sign that God has given us all of his presence. The one thing that, like Ahaz or Mary or anywhere in between, we need to confront straight on to see if we're going to align our whole life with the Lord's will, who himself gave us the extraordinary witness, not just of his providential care, but also of his participation in the nitty-gritty of our life by taking on our flesh and entering into our own existence. The Oantiphon, which again isn't all that well translated because it cuts out what translators somehow think are superfluous words. But O Clavius David, Jesus is that key, scepter of the house of Israel. He's a sword. This is a weapon in swaddling clothes, a weapon against the devil, by saying yes when the devil would say no. And then there are two links. You who open and no one closes, and closes and no one opens. Reference to Isaiah 22, to Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, whose master of the household was given the key of the palace with the instructions, what you open will be opened, what you close will be closed. This is what we hear on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, to link to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it also refers to Revelation 3, when Jesus identifies himself as the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and who shuts and no one opens. David is that key. Jesus is that key of David, who opens the kingdom of heaven. Come and free those who are in the literal house of prison, in a home arrest, sitting in darkness. That we're asking Jesus to come, begging him as that key and weapon who opens and no one can shut, to free us from house arrest and lead us from the darkness into the light. Unfortunately, Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was remaining in darkness, not willing to move. Isaiah had been sent, more or less, with the key to open up that domestic jail, to lead Ahaz out, but Ahaz refused. And then Mary's womb was, in a sense, shut and locked, but even in the midst of the darkness of a womb, the light of the world himself would be born. And this O Antiphon allows us to see the choice that we have to make between Ahaz and Mary. Christ, as the key of David, has come and opened up our cell. But are we going to follow him into the light? We're going to remain where we are, with our own will, with our own clinging to the things that don't yet have his light. The beginning of Mass today, we had a beautiful prayer, which is redolent with not only the gospel, but also the O Antiphon. O God, eternal majesty, ineffable word, the Virgin Mary received through the message of an angel, becoming the dwelling place of divinity, filled with the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant, we pray, that by your example, we may in humility hold fast to your will. Light entered the world in Mary's immaculate womb. That's why our responsorial psalm today, which is all about opening, and we pray, let the Lord enter. He is the King of glory. He wants to enter into that house of rest and lead us forth. We ask the question, who can do this? Who can stand in the Lord's holy place? And in a commentary about Our Lady, whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. Three things. First, desires. Desires not what is worthless, but what is ultimately weighty before the Lord, what matters, whose heart is clean. A pure heart sees God. And whose hands are sinless, those who are in action aren't taking bribes, aren't stealing, but on the other hand, constantly doing acts of charity. This is what we see the Lord is beckoning us to do as he opens the path. In order to ponder this mystery, the Church in her wisdom has encouraged across the generations to do what you did in immediate preparation for Mass, which is to pray the Angelus, which we ponder not just the most important moment of all time, when God united himself to the human race, but also Mary's extraordinary response, Ecce ancilla Domini, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Today, as we come forward, as that key of David comes, to enter within us with the capacity to open with no one ever shutting. We ask him to open up our heart and never let it be closed, to do in his will in this world so that with the saints we might do it forever. Let us receive Emmanuel, not just God with us, but God.